Good morning. It's good to be here this morning to worship with you again, the opportunity to speak to you this morning, and welcome also to each and everyone who has come, and if there's visitors in our midst, you're welcome to worship with us. Also, we have a number of Sunday school children with us today, so welcome to each one of you also. As we think about Thanksgiving, and we think about giving thanks for what God has done for us today, and our service will look a little different today, but bear with us as we go through it. It will be good. And so for text words this morning, I would like to read simply from Psalm chapter 107, verse 21 and 22. And in Psalm 107, it's an amazing chapter, and we'll look at it a little bit later on, but in verses 21 and 22, it says this: "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Let us begin with a word of prayer this morning. Our great and gracious God, as we come before you at this time, our minds go to thinking of thanksgiving. And we think of all that you have done for us, the many blessings you have poured upon us, and when we meditate upon that, it is almost overwhelming to think of all the things you do for us. We think mostly again this morning, and especially of your great salvation for us, your good news, the mystery of God that is given to each one of us that was not there for others in time past. And this morning we also think of the great many blessings of material goods that you give us. And we know that all things are by your hand. Some things directly and some things indirectly through other people. Lord, we just give thanks this morning for the opportunity to gather in this way to worship you for all those great things that you have done for us. We praise you again in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have two songs.
Take the red book and turn to number 395, "In the Glory of Life's Morning." Away.
Number 47, praise him. Number 47.
Blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest heart angels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. Redeemer, for our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent grace. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
And so today, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, what is it that we think about when we hear the word Thanksgiving? And I'll speak about that a little later on, but I think for us it's really important to understand that all things are a blessing of God. And when I say all things, I really mean all things. There's often times when we think about certain things and we're thankful for them, and usually it is just for the good things that we have in our lives or for the good things that happen to us. But in all reality, I think it's also important for us to understand that there are things that happen in our lives that we don't always enjoy that we should also be thankful for. Our circumstances and situations in our lives are such that we don't always give thanks, but they are really good for us at times. When I think back in my life, and I'm not very old, but when I think back, there's been times when I really didn't enjoy the things that were happening, the circumstances or the situations that I had to deal with, and maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years later, I realized that it had been something that was definitely praiseworthy. Yesterday, we had a funeral for a friend of ours in McGregor, and she was 85 years old. And she had had many difficult circumstances in her life. And we know that she had lost a son when he was about 35 or 30 and 32, and he had left behind a family with children, and she felt that was difficult. Her husband passed away before she did, and that was difficult. And throughout her life, she wasn't always healthy, and that was difficult. but very seldom did she ever complain. And I was always amazed by that when we would go, Roxy and I would go and see her. And she was this example of being thankful in whatever the situation was. And some of you will be struggling here today and you might be saying, well, how can he say that? How can we be thankful for what is happening in our lives today? And it is difficult. But with God, things are possible, and there are times when we question God. But we must have an attitude, and often I use the word a paradigm, which means that attitude, a heart, a mind of thankfulness as we go through difficulties and as we enjoy great times in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it speaks in verse 18, and it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so it doesn't say for everything, but it says in everything. And when we back up to verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see that Paul is giving the Thessalonians a little bit of a lesson on how to live and how to behave towards others. And I'll just back up to verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and then be patient toward all men." And then in verse 15, he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." And so what Paul is saying is, this is how you need to behave towards others, and he outlines a couple of these things, and he speaks about comforting those that need comfort and supporting those that are weak and being patient. And then he says, "See that none render evil for evil." So he's saying, make sure. Make sure that none renders evil for evil. So that simply means that evil must have taken place. And he's giving them guidance that you don't render evil for evil. It says unto any man. It doesn't just say some, but it says any. And then he says, but follow that which is good. Both amongst yourselves, so I would take that as meaning amongst your Christian community, and then even to others, he says. And then he speaks about rejoicing. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And then he says, in everything give thanks. And so he speaks about this, and he speaks about being thankful in everything. And then he adds, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so not only is it something that we need to do, but it is the will of God. And that is the reason why he is saying these things to the people in this church. And these were new Christians, maybe 20, 30 years at the most. And so he is explaining to them how they should live. But then he says, in everything give thanks. This is what God's will is. God's will. Many times we think about God's will, and what is God's will for us? Well, God's will, first and foremost, is that none would go astray. That's the will of God. But then there's numerous other things it speaks about in the Bible about the will of God. And one of the things that it speaks about is so important for us, and we celebrate it today, is to give thanks in every situation that we are in. And while there's many positive scriptures, there's also a number of warnings in scripture about what happens when we don't. And I think probably the most obvious one to me is in Romans chapter 1. We often speak about Romans chapter 1, and we speak about what happens to all the people when they fall into sin. But I think we often miss a little portion of scripture in verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. And what Paul is writing to the Romans is very simply, he's outlining the fact that he'd like to come and see them. He's outlining the fact that the righteousness of God is with him and salvation is of God alone, to the Jews first and then to the Greeks, it says. And it speaks about how righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And then he speaks about how the just shall live by faith. And then he switches his tone and he speaks about wrath. And he begins to speak about the wrath of God. And then we get down to verse 21. And in verse 21, he begins to speak about the progression of sin. And so how people become involved in sin and what the progression is. And for all of us, we can understand that sin doesn't just jump upon us suddenly and happen to us and we commit sin and then we fall into the sin. We all know that sin comes gradually. Satan is a master at slowly drawing us in. It's kind of like catching a large fish and he's slowly reeling us in. And so he'll get us to do something that we may not be comfortable with, but over time it becomes worse and worse if we give ourselves to sin. And in verse 21, and I won't spend much time on this, but this warning comes out from Paul to the Romans. And he says, because that when they knew God, he's speaking about people that have not followed God or are not following God. He says, but that when they knew God, so they knew about God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. And so he points out, this is the beginning. And you might say, well, why are you talking about this at a Thanksgiving service? Because I believe it's important for us to understand that Thanksgiving is of the utmost importance when we think about our God that we serve. Thanksgiving is of the utmost importance when we think about the God that we serve. And so Paul says they didn't glorify God. They weren't thankful. And then we read, they became vain. And then they became foolish in the heart that was darkened. And then they thought they were wise, but they became fools. And then in verse 23, it speaks about how they made idols. And so we see the progression of sin. And then after they made idols, well, then anything goes. After you make idols for yourselves in the place of God, then anything goes. And in verse 24, it says, God gave them over to uncleanliness, and they lusted after their own hearts, and on it went. Because they refused to glorify God and be thankful for what he had done for them. All manner of sin follows. In German, we sometimes say, dem so tun as alles gaudienig. Satan will do anything to draw us in and then get us into these gross sins that we don't even think about or don't want to think about. And so when we're not thankful and we don't glorify God, there is the other side. And the Bible does this consistently. It gives the contrast of the good and the bad, one side then the other. And that is how we can understand the importance of following our Lord, so that we know that if we do follow, this is what happens. If we don't, this is what happens. And so we have this contrast throughout Scripture. I think one of the greatest examples of wisdom and one of the greatest examples of what we need most if we are to follow the Lord, we find in Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel was in a position where he had been taken as a captive, and he was a prisoner when he was marched back to Babylon. The Romans, or rather the Babylonians, had totally destroyed his country, had destroyed the city he came from and the temple. But Daniel maintained his position of following God. And so we see here he is, and he was taken to the king's house, and so now he was a servant in the king's house. And we read in chapter 2 of Daniel, it speaks about how the king had a dream. And the king couldn't remember what the dream was, but he needed someone to interpret it for him. And he needed someone to tell him what this dream meant. And when the wise men came before him, he said, I need you to interpret my dream. And they said, well, tell us your dream. And the king said, well, I don't remember the dream. And the wise men said, well, this doesn't work. This isn't how we do things. And the king said, well, that's okay. Then I'll just have all the wise men killed. And then Daniel said, whoa, just hold on. So we know that Daniel had favor with the king. And so Daniel said, I think maybe we can do something here. And in verse 16 and 17, it speaks about Daniel. And he went to find his three friends who had come with him to Babylon, or been taken with him to Babylon. And then Daniel said to them in verse 18, he spoke to them and he asked, let us pray to the God of heaven. And I'm paraphrasing concerning this secret of the king. And maybe the king will make known to me or to us, or maybe God will make known rather to us what the king has dreamed. And then we get to verse 19, and I don't want to make this a long story. And in verse 19, it says that the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And then verse 20 to 23. So Daniel now had the revealed secret of the king's dream. He knew what the king's dream had been. God had revealed it to him. And what did Daniel do? Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." What do we need to follow God? Listen to what it says. Wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. And then this, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." The first thing Daniel did, when he received the guidance from God as to what he should tell the king, as he said, "Praise be to God." Verse 23, he said, "I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and made known unto me now what we desired from thee." And so he thanked God for what God had done for him. Often we wonder, so why was Daniel such a successful and such an influential person when he had been taken from his home country and dragged back to Babylon, where he was this influential person? But here he thanked God, the first thing he did when God revealed this to him. And what was the outcome of what Daniel did? In verse 28, he comes before the king, and I'd just like to just look at this for a second. And he says to the king, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." And so he immediately gives God the credit for what he has understood and the wisdom he has. And what else happened? In verse 47 of the same chapter, it says this. "The king answered unto Daniel." So King Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, after he had made known the dream, the king said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." And so we see here that Daniel, who was a thankful man at heart, had come before the king and he'd made this secret known to the king. And he gave God the credit for what had happened. And suddenly King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Of a truth it is, your God is a God of gods." Simply because Daniel had been truthful, had been honest before God, and then thanked God for what he had done for him. In our text words, we read from verse 21 and 22 of Psalm 107. And when we go back to Psalm 107, the writer of Psalm 107, who I believe to be David, says many things in this chapter. And it's a long chapter, but I'd like to read it to you today. And so you could understand, and I could pick pieces out, but so you could understand what the writer is trying to say about God. And in verse 21 and 22, of course, we had our opening verses, scripture verses. And in verse 22, it spoke about the sacrifice of let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It seems to me that thanksgiving is something that we have to intentionally do because it's a sacrifice. And he says, "Let us sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." And then he says, "And declare his works with rejoicing." Declare his works with rejoicing. Do we declare the great works of God with rejoicing? Are we happy about what God has done for us? Do we even understand what God has done for us? And I'll speak about that a little later. But we see here simply in the beginning, Psalm 107, the first few verses start like this. And the writer says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." His mercy endureth forever. Then he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And throughout Psalm 107, the writer creates a situation where people are in trouble. And then they cry out to God, and God is always there. And he does exactly what the first few verses say that God is. He gives mercy or grants mercy continually to those that are in trouble. And so listen closely as I read this chapter. Verse 3. And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, and that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness as in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, and are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they are quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into the wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruit of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh his families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. And then this, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. It's a long reading, but it has enormous meaning. And I believe it was written to the children of Israel, but I believe also that we can take ownership of this chapter for ourselves today. It is important that we understand that in any times of calamity, when we come before the Lord with thanksgiving, when we think about the things that the Lord has done for us, and we meditate upon them and praise him for it and give thanks for it, that he will bless us for those things. Many times when I think about what the Lord has done, and As I was preparing my message today, I thought about the things God has done for us. And usually we think about the big things. We think about the big things. And when I think about the wonderful works he has done for us, I think, of course, about the mystery that he has revealed to us. We read this in Ephesians 3, verse 3, and in Ephesians 6, verse 9, where Paul writes, and he says, these are things nobody knew before Jesus came. This amazing mystery of God, revealed to the Gentiles. Salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ is what he was speaking about. And nobody knew about this stuff before Jesus came. And he says, we are so grateful, so fortunate that the mystery of God has been revealed to us. I think about the salvation of the Lord Jesus and how this gift is free for us. And how each and every one can be a partaker of the gift of Jesus Christ. I think, of course, about families and partners, husbands and wives. When I think of God's great blessings, I think about children and brothers and sisters and parents. I think about this country we live in where we can drive wherever. This morning, Roxy and I got up and just drove like hour and three quarter. Nobody bothered us at all. And then I think about a friend of mine whose wife is working in Haiti at this time where you can't even go outside of your house or you're dead. Like, it's just horrible. Where people can't buy food because they don't have money. And where the food is locked up in storehouses, there's food there, but no one can get at it. I think about how I can turn on my water tap and have a drink of water whenever I wish, when I think about the blessings of God. I think about all the food we have, and I think about the homes that we all live in. And then I think about how we got this. And many times God gives blessings directly by his hand, but many times he does it through others. Do you ever think in depth about what God has done for us? And when I think about the homes we have, I think about, well, so where did the wood come from? And how God created massive forests of trees to grow and then put people in place to log the wood and people to haul the wood to the mills, to mill the wood. People to make 2x6s and 2x8s and plywood so we can build our houses. Someone to bring the wood from BC or Alberta all the way to here. So that we can build these houses. Do we give thanks for those people? Do we think about the wood that doesn't make the grade, that is turned into paper, and the people in the factories that make paper, and how that paper then becomes a book or our Bibles, and how that Bible, the paper in our Bible, then somebody comes along and they create ink and they put ink on the paper. And you and I get to read our Bibles every day because we have these Bibles, and we can buy them for nothing, hardly. $5 for a Bible. Do we think of all the people that do these things? You see, God has put in place people to bless other people. So you people, when you do things at your job or where you work, the things you do are a blessing to others. When you go to work, you just work for one. And if you're a child of God, you're working for the Lord, not for the person you work for. You're working for the Lord because the Lord is using you to bless others through what you're doing, and regardless of where you are. And so when I think of these things and I think of where we live and I think of how God has put people in place for our blessing, when I begin to think of that, I begin to think of how much easier it is to love people, even people that I don't really appreciate, because God has put them there to do something that will benefit someone else. It has been said, if you are a recluse and you only stay in your house and you see no one, you still affect at least 25 people by what you do. At least 25. And many of you affect hundreds of people by what you do. Some of you haul lumber, and do you ever think of the fact that how many houses get built by the loads of lumber that you haul? I think of how God in times directly by his hand benefits us and blesses us. When he gives rain and warm weather and the crops begin to grow, he is doing that by his own hand. But then I think about how God uses people who don't even acknowledge him and how he has gifted those people to bless us. And I think of so many people, there may be some here today who've had heart attacks. And it seemed like death was very near, and they get rushed to the hospital, and a doctor will put in 2 or 3 stints, and suddenly, 2 weeks later, this person is walking around, and he's fine, or she's fine. You see that as a blessing of God? It is God's direct blessing, where he uses other people to do things to bless us. Are we thankful for those people, those that may not even acknowledge God, who do these great things for us? We need to be. There's times when I'm overwhelmed when I think about all these things and what God does in his way of blessing us. Do you think about how it is such a blessing to be able to sit here today in a group of people and speak about God, and how after you'll have a meal and thank God for your meal? When I think of Thanksgiving and when I think of thankfulness, I often think of being thankful for certain things in my life, but in all reality, thankfulness is a condition of our heart. Thankfulness is something that is part of our being or part of our everyday life or attitude. It has to be something that we become in the way of being a thankful person. You know, someone who's always grumpy cannot truly be thankful for what he has been blessed, or he or she has been blessed with. I believe each one of us has a long way to go in order to have a characteristic in our own lives of thankfulness. And that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. We need to remember, God grants us all things. We need to be thankful. And so as I close my message this morning, and I think about how we have to think about a lifestyle of thanksgiving, and I think about this lady who passed away, whose funeral we had yesterday, who always seemed to be thankful for something, even though she was struggling. I think about who I want to be when I am older, when I'm really old and sick, that I could still be thankful. It is an amazing characteristic to have. And when we are thankful and we are trusting of our Lord, it is an amazing way of worshiping our great God, our Redeemer, the Redeemer of all, who gave his Son on the cross that we could live. And so, no, I almost forgot. Sorry. Before we kneel, we have an announcement of intended marriage. And so the groom is Joshua Dick. He's from Winkler, Manitoba, the son of Isaac and Tina Dick. Joshua, are you there? Could you stand, please? And the bride-to-be is Alyssa Hildebrand of Winkler, Manitoba. She is the daughter of Corny and Lisa Hildebrand. And where are you? There she is. So they're separated today. I suggested they sit together, but he was scared of you little guys up here, so... These people are both members, you may be seated. These people are both members of our church. The announcement is made for the purpose that if any person have a valid reason to oppose this marriage, that it be done in time and thereafter forever hold their peace. And thank you again for standing. And so before we go on with our program, for each one that is able, could you please kneel and pray in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
From the Blue Book, number 66, 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me. Number 66, for those that are able, please stand.
I was lost in sin when Jesus found me, but he rescued me. All glory to his name, and the cords of worldly pleasures bound me till he saved me from sin and shame. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown. soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad Hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne. Oh, the bells of heaven now are ringing, for I hear their tones within my ransomed soul, and my heart is filled with joyful singing, since the Savior hath made me whole. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad Hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne. Oh, the joy when we shall meet in glory in the mansions of my Father's home above, and through endless ages the Savior's redeeming love. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day when hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad Hosanna in glory when I see him upon his
Good morning. Just a few announcements before we continue with our program. I would like to first off thank Martin Unruh for the wonderful message that you brought this morning. And then just some reminders. Adult Bible study is starting up. Everyone is welcome to attend Adult Bible study starting weekly on October 9th at 7:30 p.m. Ladies' Fellowship will be starting October 8th. It will again be in the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. For three times, we will be starting at 6 to work on sewing project for missions. We invite all ladies to come join us. And then there's the Salem Foundation presents FASPA. So just so that you're aware that we are one of the owners, the owner churches of Salem Home. So I'll just read this as written. The Salem Foundation presents FASPA, Fellowship, and Song, Sunday, October 27th. Everyone is invited for a 3 o'clock start with musical entertainment by Baker Hunter Choir, bringing you the gospel music that you know and love, followed by the delicious FASPA and buns, cheese, pickles, and dessert. This is a free will offering fundraising event where funds raised will go to create a safe walk path for Salem residents called Salem Park. See you at Salem Foundation's FASPA Fellowship and Song, Sunday, October 27th at 3 p.m. That is at the Winkler Burkthaler Church. So make it a matter of prayer, and also please help out with the fundraising at the FASPA. And then also there's a public forum taking place October 10th at 7 p.m. at the Central Station Community Center. So because we are a part owner of the Salem home. It would be much encouraged that you go and voice your opinions on what you would like to see in the future of personal care homes. And then there's a club's announcement. Lord willing, clubs will start October 16th, 2024. Hope to see you, and then thank you. And then there's the seniors' FOSPA that will be starting up again. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. You are invited to our monthly seniors' FOSPA starting October 17th at 2 p.m. in the dining room. We plan to host these on the third Thursday of each month, October through April. Come for a time fellowship, which will include a devotional by one of our ministerial, music by a different group each month, and visiting during coffee and dessert. All seniors are welcome. Feel free to invite friends to join you. And there is a prayer request. Please pray for Deb Giesbrecht. She is experiencing a lot of pain throughout her whole body. This is contributing to poor mobility as well. And she's thanking you in advance for her prayers, or for your prayers. And then there's also a reminder for today. There's a ordination happening in Altona. You're all invited to come. Ordination is for James and Susan Stace. And that is at 3 p.m. This is a reminder. And also for after this program, everyone is to be seated in the dining hall when they will be serving. So just be seated and you will be served. And the dessert, that will be buffet style, but the Thanksgiving meal will be served to you. And I would just also like to in advance thank the program committee for putting this all together, and thank you for everyone that is involved to make this happen. Thank you.
Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Great things he hath done, and great are reasons.
Forever thankful. Being forever thankful is what God wants from us.
Never forgetting from where we came or his boundless saving love.
All of heaven's blessings pour down from heaven's gates. Everything we have in life, he's given with extra grace.
We need to always thank him for this and so much more, not only for the tangible things, but because he is our Lord.
Thanksgiving is the key for his blessings to increase. If we've not got thankful hearts, his blessings soon will cease.
Don't ever start complaining at what you may not have. Look around at what you see. Be thankful and glad.
Thank you. Give me a thankful heart. God of the winds, the snows, the rains, the tides that fall and rise, the painter of the vales and plains, lamplighter of the skies, thou who has made the land and sea and holds them each apart, would you but grant me this one plea, give me a thankful heart. Giver of calm in time of strife, giver of balm in pain, thou who alone can give of life and take it back again. Thou who gave of a love that wooed and drew this soul apart, that I might show my gratitude, give me a thankful heart. God of the atom and its power, wise keeper of the time, guider of men when dark the hour, giver of peace sublime, giver of faith that sees the way, though heaven and earth depart, thou who has given all, I pray, give me a thankful heart.
Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanksgiving. What time the latest flower hath bloomed, the latest bird has southward flown. When silence weaves or garnered sheaves, sweet idols in our northern zone. When scattered children rest beside the hearth and hold the mother's hand, then roll Thanksgiving's ample tide of fervent praise across the land. And through the autumn stillness broads, where spring ends glad song with song and stir, though summer's grace leave little trace on fields that smiled at sight of her, still glows on the sunset's altar fire with crimson flame and heart of gold, and faith uplifts with strong desire and deep content the hymns of old. We bless our God for wondrous wealth through the bright and benignant year, for shower and rain, for ripened grain, for the gift of guerdon far and near. We bless the ceaseless providence that washed us through the peaceful days, that led us home and brought us thence, and kept us in our various ways. And if the hand so much that gave has something taken from our store, if caught from sight to heaven's pure light, some precious ones are here no more. We still adore the friend above, who while earth's world grows steep and dim, yet comforts us in tender love and holds our darlings close to him. Thanks then, O God, from sea to sea, let every wind an anthem bear, and hearts be rife through toil and strife with joyful praise and grateful prayer. Our fathers, God, their children sing the grace they sought through storm and sun. Our harvest tribute here we bring and end it with thy will be done.
Again, take your blue books and turn to page 96, Heaven Came Down. Can we stand?
And so thank you very much to each one who had a part here this morning. That was really good. And some of you were really nervous, and I could tell, and that's really good too, because now you know how I feel every Sunday when I get up here. That was great. And so we'll close with a word of prayer, and then we'll kneel for prayer after that. Let's bow for a closing prayer. Our great and gracious God, as we have worshiped this morning, we again ask that you accept our worship as real and true. Lord, may you move our hearts to be thankful at all times, in those difficult situations we have and in the good times. May we also uphold each other so that we can be thankful for your great love, as we are the ones that so often show your love to others. Give us strength as we go day by day with an attitude of thanksgiving and love for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so for each one at this time who would like to or who would be able to kneel, please kneel and pray in Jesus' name. May the Lord hear our prayers. Amen. And so we'll be partaking of the meal immediately after the service. But before we do that, we'll just have the doxology at this time. And then I will say table grace and have the benediction after.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Irvin. So after the benediction, we'll just stay seated. The ushers will come forward to usher us out. So let's bow for table grace and then the benediction, please. Our great and gracious God, again, we thank you for the provisions that you have given us. So generously, you pour upon us food and drink and a peace where we can sit and fellowship with people. May the fellowship that we have this afternoon around the tables be to your honor and glory, we pray. And then the benediction taken from Numbers 6. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and the Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and the Lord give thee peace. And you may go in the name of the Lord. Amen. Could the ushers please come forward?